Our Lenten series continues today. 2 weeks ago, the word was testimony, the testimony of Isaiah. Last week, the word was trials, the trials of Jesus. And today, the word is tragedy. Tragedy. Many of you will recognize the name of Billy Joel. Billy Joel is a very successful American songwriter, and he has won many awards. In fact, he has been honored at the Kennedy Center in the Kennedy Center Honors. You might know him as the composer of the song The Piano Man. Billy Joel was born of Jewish parents, but his friends were Roman Catholic, and so he went to Roman Catholic Mass. And later, he was baptized in the Church of Christ. And not too long ago, an interviewer asked him about all of that. And here is part of what he said. Quote, "I viewed the whole business as a lot of very enthralling hocus-pocus. There's a guy nailed to a cross and dripping with blood, and everybody's blaming themselves for that. But I said to myself, forget it. I had no hand in that evil. I have no original sin. There is no blood of any sacred martyr on my hands. I pass on all of this." End quote. Tragedy. In fact, that kind of tragedy surrounds us every day, everywhere we go. There are countless people who have heard about Jesus Christ, but they blatantly reject Jesus Christ, and I suspect you know some of them. There are countless people who have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they do not understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't understand who Jesus Christ is and what he did for us and what he continues to do. So they reject him. During this season of Lent, we have been dwelling a lot in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah with familiar words like these. He was despised. He was rejected. We could say he is despised. He is rejected. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, pierced for our transgressions. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, he was silent. And all of those words come from the first seven chapters of the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And today, I'm going to read the next verse. Verse 8. This is not a verse that most of us are familiar with. One of the reasons is that it's seldom read, and one of the reasons it's seldom read is that it's hard to understand. People just don't grasp it. They skip over it. I'm reading from the NIV translation first, Isaiah 53, verse 8. "By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken." Now here's that same verse in the English Standard Version. It's a little bit more clear, but it's still challenging. It reads this way. "By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people?" In other words, Jesus Christ was punished and killed for the sins of other people, but they didn't even think about it. They didn't consider it. They didn't have the faintest idea what was going on with that sacrificial death. What's that all about? Here's another example. It's found in Luke 18 in verse 31. Jesus took his 12 disciples aside and he told them, "We're going up to Jerusalem. And everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. Now listen to the next verse, verse 34. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, for they did not know what he was talking about. That's what Billy Joel was saying. Forget it. I pass on all of this. Even though Billy Joel was baptized as a Christian in the Church of Christ, his testimony today is that he is a committed atheist. Tragic. A committed atheist would look at you and say, why should I trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Why not some other great spiritual leader? What about Buddha? Why shouldn't I follow Buddha? Or Muhammad? Why shouldn't I follow him? And you know that there are many, many reasons to give them for following Jesus Christ. But if it falls on a cold and stony heart, it's dead. Unless the Holy Spirit of God quickens that spirit and reveals his Son to them. And many non-believers will challenge us to give them an intellectual reason, not a spiritual answer. I don't want to hear that spiritual, what was his word, hocus pocus. I want something intellectual. Well, here is an intellectual approach. It may lead some non-believers into curiosity to look into Jesus Christ more. It's this: Jesus was predicted. He was predicted. For hundreds of years, men like Isaiah told us about the coming of the Messiah. Great details about the Messiah yet to come. You cannot say that about Buddha. Buddha came along about 500 years before Jesus Christ, and he was an extraordinary teacher with some intriguing ideas about how to avoid suffering. Lots of people followed him, and they believed him to be a god, and Buddhism was born, and it is still with us today. But no one predicted that Buddha was going to come along and change the world. And the truth is said of Muhammad. He came along 500 years after Jesus Christ. He was an extraordinary teacher who had some intriguing ideas about morality. And lots of people followed him, and they believed him to be a divine prophet. Islam was born, and it is still thriving today. But no one predicted that Muhammad would come and change the world. In contrast, the prophecies of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are legion. For thousands of years before Jesus Christ came, prophets predicted that Jesus would come, that he would be born, and how he would be born, and where he would be born, and how he would minister, and how he would die, and much more. One of the prophecies was that Jesus would be more than an extraordinary teacher. And the most powerful of those prophecies are found in the book of Isaiah in chapter 53, and among them is this tragic prediction. People would not have the faintest idea what Jesus Christ was all about. Dr. Walter Wilson was an American evangelist in the first half of the 1900s, and he told a story about a woman who attended one of his evangelistic crusades. She came up to him after his message and she said, Dr. Wilson, I want to become a Christian, but I just don't understand how God could forgive and accept me. So he asked her, do you know the verse from the Bible, John 3:16? Oh yes, she said, I know that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son. Well, he was shocked, and he started to correct her. But then he thought about it for a moment, and instead he said to her, well, why do you think God forgot his son? She said, I don't know. He said, God forgot his son because he wanted to remember you. In many ways, that's the message of Isaiah. It's all about what God did for you and for me. And that's the season of Lent that we're in right now. Jesus wasn't forced to do anything. He chose to do it. The tragedy is that so many of us refuse to choose him. Now, you've probably heard this before. The five letters of the word grace. If you use those letters, they could spell God's riches in Christ's expense, at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. That is both a tragedy and it's a treasure of enormous worth. God's riches at Christ's expense. It wasn't an accident of history. It was all planned from the very beginning of time. It was God's decision to do what he did because of our rebellion. And now we have to make a decision concerning Jesus Christ. There's a wonderful story in Acts chapter 8. It's not a story that I remember hearing in Sunday school, but I learned it later. It's about Philip. He was one of the first evangelists in the church, and he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the Holy Land. And the story was on a particular day when Philip was walking down the road that led from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, that road is still there today. A few years ago, Elizabeth and I took a cruise out of Athens that stopped at many of the places where the prophets ministered and where Jesus walked. And one day, that cruise ship docked in Ashdod, Israel, and we got into a car and we drove from Ashdod, very near Gaza, up to Jerusalem, the very road that Philip was on in this story. And while Philip was on that road, he met an Ethiopian eunuch who was an important official for the queen of Ethiopia. That's important. This Ethiopian eunuch was sitting in his chariot and he was reading something, and he was reading it out loud. And he was reading from the book of Isaiah, the verse that we just looked at. And let's pick up the story at Acts chapter 8, verse 29. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go to that chariot and sit near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked him. "How can I?" he said, "unless somebody explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch then asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or somebody else?" And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. I love that story. He made an immediate decision to follow Jesus Christ. He was overcome by the power and the presence of the message of Isaiah that the Holy Spirit revealed to him and lifted the veil from his eyes. He didn't wait to go back to Ethiopia. He didn't wait to go to the holy city of Jerusalem. Right there, right then, he said yes to Jesus Christ. What about you? What about you? That man's life began that day. What about yours? Someone said the tragedy of life is not that it ends too soon, but that we wait so long to begin it. That Ethiopian may have gone back to Ethiopia to serve the queen and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ there. We don't know. It's possible that that's how God spread the gospel there. What about you? Do you share the gospel with anyone, anywhere? What if Philip had not explained the passage of Isaiah to that man that day? He might not have heard, he might not have understood the gospel of Jesus Christ. He might have perished for a lack of knowledge. That would have been a tragedy. I read a story that I'm told is true. The story is this. A woman was walking along a riverbank with her small child, and the child slipped on the slippery rocks and fell into the river. And she was terrified because she could not swim. So she started screaming for help, and she screamed and she screamed, "Help me, help me, help me." Finally, someone heard her screams and they ran to the river, and she told them her child had gone under the water. He jumped into the water, but it was too late. He found the child, brought him up, and the child died. That was absolutely tragic. But here was something more tragic. When he got into the water, he discovered it was only waist deep. She could have rescued her own child, but for a lack of knowledge, she did not. What about you? Do you lack knowledge of the Lord? Do you need to feed more on His Word, His presence? Or have you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you know who Jesus is? Has He changed your life? Have you committed yourself to Him? Would you stay on the riverbank or would you jump into the water? Would you share the truth and the beauty and the wonder of Jesus Christ with someone? Or would you just continue to go on your way and hope someone else would come along and jump into the water and rescue those who are perishing? What about you? 2 Corinthians 6:1. Paul said, "We urge you not to receive God's grace in vain." In his book, World of Flame, Billy Graham wrote this. Billy Graham said, "Mr. Average Man is comfortable with his complacency, and as unconcerned as a silverfish ensconced in a carton of discarded magazines on the world affairs. Man is not asking any questions because his social benefits from the government give him a false sense of security. This is his trouble and his tragedy. Modern man has become a spectator of world events, observing on his television screen without becoming involved. He watches the ominous events of our times pass before his eyes while he sips his beer in a comfortable chair. He does not seem to realize what is happening to him. He does not understand that his world is on fire and that he is about to be burned with it." That's tragic. The tragedy of the gift of salvation from Jesus Christ is that many people receive it in vain. In the year 2003, in the Netherlands, there was a jeweler who was celebrating his 10th anniversary in business. And he decided to celebrate by sending out letters to all of his clients. He had, get this, 4,000 clients. And he sent 4,000 letters. And in those letters, in 200 of them, he put a diamond, a little diamond. And in 3,800 letters, he put an imitation diamond, a cubic zirconium. And then in the letter, he said, 10 years of celebration. I hope you'll come to see me, just help me celebrate. In 200 of the letters, I've placed a diamond. and the others an imitation diamond. And he very cleverly invited them to come into his shop and find out whether they had the real thing or not. And he said, "And if you have one of the real diamonds, I will set it for you for free." You're liking this story, aren't you, Judy? Yeah. Yeah. Well, something interesting happened. He hardly heard from anybody. No one responded. What's wrong? So he started calling his clients. "Did you get my letter?" "Oh, yes, I got your letter." "Well, why didn't you come in?" "Well, I got your letter and I thought another piece of junk mail, so I threw it away. I didn't look into it." Tragic. God's grace is the real thing. And God has given it to you like a jewel. He's given you a gift. And he's given that gift to countless people, yet every day countless people turn him down and throw him away. "Forget about it. I pass on all of this." That is a tremendous tragedy. Let us pray. Lord, one of the tragedies of this moment is that so many will leave this room and just forget about it. So many, I'm afraid, will move on to lunch, afternoon events, naps, recreation, television, comfort, preparation for the week, maybe even work, and forget about it. Forget about you. Forget about your gift. Forget about your son. Lord, I pray that the conviction of your Holy Spirit will rest on me and all of us, that we will open your gift, receive it, love it and cherish it and share it with everyone at every opportunity. Thank you. Strengthen us. Help us. That we may change the tragedy into triumph. In Jesus' name. Amen.